Hello and welcome to the podcast. This is Ron's Amazing Stories. We have stories that should thrill you a little and chill you a little.
It's amazing.
You will hear adventures sent in by you guys, classic stories from the pulp mags, and episodes from the golden age of radio. We have special segments like Ghost Stories with Sylvia.
That's amazing.
And the paranormal with Jason.
I think we're going to have a lot of fun.
So settle in for the next hour and enjoy the show. Oh, and you just might want to prepare yourself to be taken away from today.
Another 5-minute mystery.
This 5-minute mystery is being brought to you by classic science fiction and, of course, the planet Earth. Arthur C. Clarke once said how inappropriate it was to call this planet Earth when clearly it's ocean. Here is our story for this week.
Sometimes, Jed, I wish I'd never taken this job as sheriff.
I know what you mean.
Take today, Memorial Day. Everybody else is sitting around their house, taking things easy-like.
Or else out boating or having a picnic.
That's right, enjoying themselves. But us, we're sitting around a stuffy old office.
Yep, waiting for something to happen, like vultures. I could think of a lot pleasanter things I'd rather be...
I'll get it. Probably my wife. Green County Sheriff's Office. Who? Tom Edson's farm. Shot? Tom Edson shot by your wife? We'll be right out.
As you can see, Sheriff, my wife Edith is hysterical. She's in no condition to answer questions.
I didn't kill Dad. I didn't. You know I didn't, Ronald.
Jed.
Yep, Sheriff.
As soon as you finish that sketch and notes on the position of the body, you better call Doc Ferris.
That's a good idea. Edith should be placed under a doctor's care immediately. She's been building up to this collapse for some time.
You must believe me. I didn't kill Dad. I wasn't even in the house.
You weren't in the house?
No. I was in the stables talking to the horses when I heard the shots and ran back to the house.
Edith, darling, you know you were in the room kneeling by your father when I came into the house, weren't you?
Oh, yes, Ronald.
And you had the gun in your hand, didn't you?
Yes. Yes, Ronald, but I didn't kill Dad.
You see, Sheriff?
Looks bad.
Tom Edson never approved of Edith's marriage to me, Sheriff, and because of that, Edith and I had never been in here during the 10 years we've been married. This is our first visit.
I've called the doc, Sheriff. He'll be right out.
Good.
Another thing, Sheriff. I noticed the automatic, the murder weapon, had a peculiar odor about it.
Did?
Yep. Smells something like powder or perfume.
It's Edith's gun. He carried it in her purse. You know how things in a woman's purse always smells like their face powder?
Yeah.
Edith and her father had been arguing all morning. Then when I heard the postman blow his whistle, you know how he blows the little whistle on these country routes when he leaves mail? Well, it was a relief to get out of the house. After I walked all the way out that long lane to the mailbox, there wasn't anything there but a couple of bills. While I was walking back, I heard shots and...
Ronald, how can you stand there and so calmly convict your own wife? Sheriff, I didn't kill my father.
I know you didn't, Edith. Now I know that Ronald is the murderer.
On what clues does the sheriff place his accusation that Ronald is the murderer? Do you know? We'll be back in 1 minute with the solution. In the meantime...
Now, we have a bundle of clues in this one, and for the record, I agree with the sheriff. Here's what we know. It was a fine Memorial Day. Edith was out talking to the horses, and there was an odd odor to the gun. Quite the eclectic collection of clues, but which one is Donald's downfall? Well, I think it's the horses. You see, all the sheriff has to do is check Edith's story with them. Mr. Ed will surely be Edith's alibi. Let's go see if I'm right.
And now, back to our mystery.
Ronald, maybe mail doesn't mean much to you big city folks. You maybe don't pay much attention to its delivery. but we farmers appreciate our mail and know all about deliveries. You couldn't have heard the mailman's whistle and gone out for the mail, Ronald, because today is Memorial Day, a national holiday, and mail isn't delivered on national holidays. However, holiday or not, I'm going to deliver you to the county jail immediately.
Oh, yeah. It was Memorial Day. That's a pretty good clue, too. But I still say all the sheriff had to do was talk to Mr. Ed, so I'm still right. This mystery was brought to you by classic science fiction and, of course, the planet Earth. What is one without the other?
What's that you said?
Welcome to the podcast. On the show today, we will start off with one of my favorite science fiction shows.
Is that legal?
Well, I think so. Anyway, then we have two of your stories. A phantom mist shocks a young boy, and a woman encounters something in the Nevada desert.
Oh, yes, that happens to me all the time.
Yeah. We follow that up with some classic science fiction from the great Ray Bradbury, titled The Earthmen.
Oh boy, I like him.
Don't we all? We end the program this time with a brand new segment called True Facts. I received this email from Kendra Jordan. She didn't say where she was from, but did have this to say. Ron, love the podcast and want to help out. I don't have stories to share, I'm not a writer, and I'm not very creative. What can I do? There must be something you need. Now I know what you're going to say, you can help promote the show. I do that, but I'm looking for something more. Kendra. Well, Kendra, that is wonderful, and I appreciate that you help promote the show. That helps more than anything. Word of mouth, reviews, and likes all make the difference these days for a successful podcast. I put this show out for you guys to enjoy. I don't expect anything in return, and having you listen each week is more than enough. I guess if I wanted something, I would ask for your feedback. What did you like about the show? What didn't you enjoy? What would you like to see different? After all, podcasts are fluid and have to change with the needs of the people. That almost sounded political. Now, let's start this off with one of my favorite television shows. Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/Ron's Amazing Stories. They have over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, computer, Kindle. Whatever you have, you can listen to Audible on it. So what am I listening to right now? Firefly. Big Damn Hero, Firefly, Book 1. Written by James Lovegrove and narrated by James Anderson Foster. Do you remember the science fiction series on Fox? Firefly was a Western drama created by writer and director Joss Whedon. The series is set in the year 2517 after the arrival of humans in a new star system. It follows the adventures of the renegade crew of Serenity, which is a Firefly-class spaceship. The series lasted but one season, but what a fantastic season it was. The problem was that Fox mishandled it and placed it on Friday nights. It never took off in the ratings. But that didn't matter to the fans of the show, and Whedon quickly made a movie version that did quite well at the box office. Years later, fans are still screaming for a return, and it looks like it might be back. Someday. Until then, we have a series of novels, 4 so far, that have been made of the critically acclaimed and much-missed Firefly. Big Damn Hero is the first, and here is a clip from the opening of the book.
So here's how it is. We've been flying for about a month on fumes and tears. Zoe and I are the ones hit hardest. We carried the coffin of Tracy Smith, a comrade in arms, out of Serenity and into the snowfall, where his folks stood in silence. We did not tell them that Tracy had run afoul of a gang of organ smugglers and taken refuge with us, or that he had lied to us and nearly killed Kaylee, and that Zoe and I had both shot him mortally. As he died in our arms, he remembered when we were soldiers. We had fought on the right side, even if it was the losing one, and risked our lives to make sure everyone came back. Now he's dead, and we told his folks that he was a war hero. War does a lot of mean, miserable things to people. Makes them nurse grudges, makes them swear vengeance, makes them tell stories about how the Browncoats went down in defeat. And a lot gets lost in the translation. The Unification War ended in 2511. It's 2517 now, and my memories come in waves. Sometimes I'm back home on Shadow, signing up to join the Browncoats with my best friends Jamie Adair and Toby Finn. We were so young, just kids. We thought war meant freedom and glory. And sometimes I still dream about Jamie's sister Ginny, and when I wake up, my heart is as hollow as a drum. That's all in the past, and I've got way more than enough present to deal with. Inara gets these faraway looks, don't know what it means, but I know not to ask. Still got the Tams on board, and Jane hasn't tried to sell them out since we got those medical supplies on Osiris, so that's a plus. Shepard's still reading his book of fairy tales. Zoe's still my first officer, and I wouldn't have any other. Kaylee keeps us running, and Wash keeps us flying. Is it a good life or a bad one? The answer doesn't matter. It's the only life we have. Captain Malcolm Reynolds.
While picking up cargo on Purse Phone, Captain Malcolm Reynolds is kidnapped by a bunch of embittered veteran browncoats who suspect him of sabotaging the Independence during the war. As the rest of the crew struggle to locate him, Mal is placed on trial for his life, fighting compelling evidence that someone did indeed betray them to the Alliance during the Battle of Serenity Valley. As old comrades and old rivals crawl out of the woodwork, Mal must prove his innocence, but his captors are desperate and will settle for nothing less than the culprit's blood. Now, you can have Big Damn Hero Firefly Book 1 today. Here is what Audible has set up for us. They are offering a free audiobook and 30 days to give you the opportunity to check out their service. This includes free access to the Audible Plus catalog, which is updated monthly with new titles. To download your free audiobook, go to audibletrial.com/Ron's Amazing Stories. Again, that's audibletrial.com/Ron's Amazing Stories, and you too can head back to the world of Firefly and the crew of Serenity today. Thank you, Audible. And now, it's time for your stories.
These are your stories, sent by you, for you.
Our first story for this time comes from Paul Devon. Paul didn't say where he's living now, but I'm going to go with Colorado. Hello, Ron. This is a true story from my childhood that I have titled The Haunting on Rattlesnake Road. This is a fictitious title, and the actual name of the road is rather boring. I have several stories that I would like to share from this place, and this is only the first. I was born in Long Island, New York, and since I can remember, I've experienced strange occurrences. I was never able to sleep at night, and from a young age, I was terrified of the dark. Yes, I know, every child is afraid of the dark, but I was afraid for a reason that I was unable to explain until later in life. There are a few stories I had while on Rattlesnake Road, but I wanted to fast forward to when I was older and things began to make sense to me. My family purchased a second home and we moved to Colorado. We lived on a ranch located on top of a hill that fed into the Rocky Mountains. There wasn't much around us, a few neighbors, our barn with our animals, and thousands of acres of hilly and mountainous terrain that surrounded our family home. There was a long dirt road that led to our property, Rattlesnake Road. It was a perfect shot of scenery leading up to our three-bedroom home. It was quiet, peaceful, but the land was ancient. More about that in another story. I was about 7 years old at the time. This is when I began to understand that what I was going through wasn't normal. Our home was a ranch-style house with a three-car garage, which took up half the structure. The other half was built into the hillside, where you entered from the front. You walked into the living room, and you could see straight out the back sliding door into the Colorado Plains. In front of you was the kitchen, old with brick. Straight down the hallway started with my room on the right, my brother's room followed that, and lastly my parents' room on the left. The bathrooms connected and were on the right side as well, wrapping around to the back of the house. I left the hallway lights on when I slept. I was scared to begin with, but there's something that always felt as though it wasn't just our family there. One night, I was up and I could not fall back to sleep. My parents and brother were sleeping, which I could hear them snoring down the hall. My bedroom door was open and I was facing the hallway when suddenly the pull string in my closet made a click and the lights popped on. I could see the light making its way through the slatted shades of my closet's accordion doors and my heart began to race. Then they shut off again. The air in the room became cold, tense, almost as if the oxygen was being siphoned out. Then the silence set in. I could no longer hear the snoring. In fact, I couldn't hear anything. I looked towards the hallway and a short black mist passed by. It had no facial features, but I could see what could have been a mouth. It seemed as if though it was smiling ear to ear, which paralyzed me with intense feeling of dread. It passed by my doorway out of sight, not making a sound. Moments later, I could hear what sounded like the door to our garage open and closed. The air lifted, and my surroundings returned to normal. I decided that I had to go investigate. I got up and walked to the door to the garage. It was closed, as I expected. I grabbed the doorknob and was shocked. I mean literally shocked. A bolt of electricity passed through me and I fell to the floor screaming. My parents were the first to arrive and my brother soon after. I told them what happened. My father carefully reached out to the door and quickly pulled his hand back. Nothing happened. He opened the door and flipped on the light. Nothing was there. Now I know what you're thinking, that they wouldn't believe me. Well, that might have been true, except for the unexplainable burn mark on my hand. One that I still have a slight scar that I can show you today. Paul Devon, probably from Colorado. That is a freaky story and one that has some good proof. Paul, I hope you do send in more of your stories from Rattlesnake Road. I think we'd all love to hear more about this scary place. This next story, while short, packs a pretty amazing punch. Della Coleman from Sparks, Nevada sent this in, and it is in response to a UFO story we had during our year in review. She has called it, UFOs are not limited to Arizona. Hello, Ron. The story that was sent in by Silas and Catherine Greenlee was frightening to me on so many levels. While you read that story, I was taken back to a desert encounter I had a few months back. I was out there looking for small cactus plants that I could transplant. Not exactly legal, but everyone does it. It was getting close to evening when I heard a whoosh sound, followed by a darkening of the sky. I glanced up and saw a huge triangle shape. It was moving very slowly, and there appeared to be a small tornado directly below it, stirring up the ground. All of this was heading directly towards me. My first instinct was to run, but before I could move, the world went black. The next thing I remember was driving home. On the seat beside me were four perfect cactus plants. That night I had some troubling dreams, and I've not been back to the desert since. I'm not sure I ever want to do that again. Della Coleman, Sparks, Nevada. Della, that is a creepy story. Lost time events are the hardest to deal with because you just don't know. Was it a blackout or an abduction? Both have troubling aspects. Know that I will keep you in my thoughts and prayers, and I hope that you find the answer. I can help you with one thing. I looked up to see if it was legal to collect cactus plants in Nevada. Digging up cactus and yucca on private and public land in Nevada is a regulated activity. On federal land, permits and tags are required. On private land, written permission is all you need. Well, those are your stories for this time. If you have a story that you want to share, like Della did, head to the main website at ronsamazingstories.com and click on the story submission banner. Type your story, give it a title, and tell me where you're from. That's all it takes. We want your stories. Are you ready for another story? This one is being brought to us by Gladys Goodies. Good treats for your dog to eat. They use all natural products with no sugar, preservatives, salts, or harmful ingredients. So check out their online store at GladysGoodies.com. That is GladysGoodies.com. And don't forget to use our very own promo code, RONS, to get a 20% discount on all of your purchases. That is RONS. Thank you, Gladdy. Our featured story is a classic that comes from the pen of Ray Bradbury. Ray is best known for his work on the novel, The Martian Chronicles. But it might interest you to know that the book was actually a collection of short stories that appeared in various magazines from 1947 to 1949. The novel is a science fiction fix-up, published in 1950, that chronicles the settlement of Mars. Americans leaving a troubled Earth that is eventually devastated by nuclear war. Our story today is titled The Earthmen, and it was first published in Thrilling Wonder Stories, August of 1948. It's the story of the second expedition where the crew encounters a Martian community not far from their landing site. I don't want to say any more about this story so that you might enjoy it as it was intended to be. So here is The Earthmen from the OTR series Escape. It first aired on July 25th, 1957.
You, finding life rather dull, dreaming again of exotic places, wishing you were somewhere else, we offer you Escape.
Escape with us now to the outer limits of space and the terrifying experiences of four men who penetrated it. As Ray Bradbury, famous science fiction writer, tells it in his gripping story, The Earthmen.
You ready, Clitheroe?
Yes, sir.
Communication number one. Mission accomplished.
Yes, sir.
You better make sure you pause after that. Give them a few seconds to get over their excitement down there.
Oh, they'll go crazy. Be bigger than New Year's Eve.
New Year's Eve? Be bigger than the armistice. Only one celebration will top it in our lifetime.
What's that, sir?
The one they throw when we get back. All right, now where was I?
Mission accomplished.
Yeah. First rocket expedition to Mars landed upon Mars 1203 Earth time. Estimated position of landing, approximately longitude 345 degrees, latitude minus 7 degrees.
Yes, sir.
Landed without incident at edge of forest. Atmosphere, what's a good word to say it's all right for breathing?
Optimal?
Yeah. Found atmosphere optimal. Descended from rocket.
Captain Williams.
Yeah?
Prescott, sir. I see Prescott. He's running this way.
Running? Something after him?
No, he's just loping along. I think he's smiling.
Keep your binoculars on him. Sound off. It looks like he's in trouble. Descended from rocket. Sent Lieutenant Prescott on reconnaissance mission. Dugan, Prescott, all right?
Yes, sir. Want me to yell to him?
No, just stay up there and watch him. Morale high. Commend efficiency and discipline of entire crew. Lieutenant Prescott and Dugan, Sergeant Clitheroe.
Thanks, Captain.
There's enough glory for all, Sergeant. Any chance of sending that in now?
Not for 2 hours. Channels won't be clear for voice communication until 3 o'clock Earth time.
They don't even know yet that we made it. I'd like to be down there when they get that message. What excitement. Sirens, bands playing, artillery salute.
Here's Prescott, sir.
Good. Come on down, Dugan. Prescott, you all right?
People.
Here, sit down, sit down. Catch your breath.
People. Mars has people.
All right, now take your time. You want a drink?
Mars is inhabited. People, just like home.
Any women?
Let him talk. What sort of people?
Ordinary looking people. Men, women, kids.
Hostile?
I don't think so. I came down a road, a country road. Followed it to the right angle into a paved highway.
Yeah.
Before I could decide whether to go right or left, I heard a buzzing sort of sound. I ducked behind a bush. Vehicle rolled past. One wheel must have a gyroscopic balance of some sort.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Inside was a man and a woman.
What'd they look like?
Just like us. Hair, eyes, nose, mouth, body, clothes, everything.
Mars inhabited. Wait till I hear that down there.
Well, after it passed, I followed it. I came to a hill, and when I got to the top, there it was, a little town. Buildings, streets, just like home. And then I hurried back here.
People. And just like home, huh?
Yeah.
You suppose they're really friendly?
Well, I don't see why not.
You heard what he said? Civilization up here resembles the one down there. What would they do on Earth if Martians came down and established contact?
They'd make a pretty big thing out of it.
Yeah, the people up here will probably treat us the same way. Even so, we're not going to take any chances. We'll be armed.
We're going into town?
Right. As soon as we camouflage the rocket. All right, start cutting some of those branches and gathering leaves. Cover it up good. I don't want anybody monkeying around while we're gone.
Right.
We can't be gone long, Captain. Channel's open at 3.
We'll be back by then, if everything goes well. Oh, can you imagine their reaction when they see us? Come on, man, make it fast! All right, men, dress it up. I'm going to knock on the door now and keep smiling to show we're friendly and let me do all the talking. Understand?
Yes. Very good.
Yes, what do you want?
You speak English.
I speak what I speak. What do you want?
Martian speaks English. We're from Earth. I'm Captain Williams, commander of the first expedition to Mars. And you are the first Martian we've met.
Martian?
What I mean to say is you live on the fourth planet from the sun, correct?
Well, everybody knows that.
Well, we're from Earth.
Where?
It's never been done before.
What has it?
How is it you speak such good English?
I'm not speaking, I'm thinking. Telepathy. Now, what is it you want?
We're from Earth. From Earth.
Some other time, Mac. I got my own problem.
How do you like that?
He didn't look very bright.
I know, but...
Well, try it again. Knock on the door.
I'm in command here, Dugan. I'll do all the thinking.
Yes, sir.
I'll knock on the door and try it again.
Yes?
Oh, excuse me, ma'am. Was that your husband I was just talking to?
Yes.
He shut the door so quick, I never got a chance to explain.
Oh, I'm sorry, but he is busy. Can I help you? Are you strangers in town?
I'll say we are. We're from Earth.
Earth?
The planet Earth. Maybe you have a different name for it. The third in order from the sun. We came in a rocket. Almost 60 million miles through
space. Don't come near me.
I just want to see a can. You and your husband are the first people on this planet we've seen.
Don't come near me!
You don't understand. We're from Earth. We came in a rocket. We came in a rocket!
Earth!
And we...
Earth!
What did I do?
Captain, don't you think we'd better get away from here, maybe?
Well, all I did was... How far is it to town, Prescott?
Quarter of a mile.
I just wanted to shake hands. What was it that scared him?
Right for us to smoke, Captain?
Sure, smoke, yell, unbutton your buttons, do whatever you want. Doesn't seem to make any difference. Nobody's paying any attention to us anyhow. You'd think these people had visitors from Earth every day. Nobody even turns around to look at us.
Can I say something, Captain?
Yeah?
We can't blame them for ignoring us, sir. We look just the same as they do. For all they know, we're just a few Martians ambling through the town square. We ought to take a chance and try telling someone else.
We've told three of them already. Back at that farmhouse, the man ignored us and the woman screamed and ran away. And that girl we told fainted.
Captain, looks like a bar or a soda fountain in here. Would it be all right if we went in and had something to drink?
Well, why not?
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Could we... get something to drink here?
Got some nice fruit crystal. It's all right. The same for everyone.
Sorry, Tom.
I don't think I've ever seen you fellas around. You strangers?
We're from Earth.
Where?
Earth. Third planet from the sun.
Oh. Clumsy of me. Earth, huh? Well, what do you know?
You mean you understand what I'm trying to tell you?
Sure. Sure.
That we're the first men from Earth ever to reach Mars, that it's never been done before.
That we came 60 million miles in a rocket?
Sure. 60 million, huh? Rocket, you say? Well, I'm proud to make your acquaintance.
I'm Captain Williams. This is Lieutenant Prescott,
Hi.
Sergeant Clitheroe, and Lieutenant Dugan.
Well, I'm honored. I'm honored. Do you mind if I bring my son in to meet you? This is an occasion.
Sure. Bring him in.
Son! Come in here. Rocket, eh? All the way by rocket. Say now.
You understand what we went through, the chances we took.
Sure. Why, you're real heroes. Let me shake hands again.
You call me Doc?
Son, these men are from Earth. From Earth. Understand?
Yes, Pop.
We're the first men from Earth ever to reach Mars.
Isn't that wonderful, son? Think of it.
It's wonderful.
Go tell everyone. You don't mind if he tells people. Do you?
Mine. I should say not.
Oh, we'd like him to.
As many as possible.
Go ahead, son. Hurry. think of it, all the way from Earth.
There were times in there when I didn't think we'd make it, I can tell you.
Hey, I'll bet there were.
Turbine conked out when we hit the stratosphere, and I began to sweat the big drop.
Yeah, I can imagine. Turbine, it's pretty serious.
Well, even before we left, we were told we only had about one chance in three of making it.
Hey, I don't see where you found the courage.
We didn't even know what we'd find when we got here.
My,
you
oh
see,
my.
It's never been done before. Never.
Let me shake your hand again.
Lots of men were killed trying, but they never succeeded.
What an honor for our little town.
You're the first to know, really. The very first.
Oh?
Your name will go down in history in all the school books with ours.
Yes, and the monuments on both planets.
Hey, what is your name?
Hey, wait a minute, man. Hold on.
What's up, Skipper?
Outside. All those people. Looks like the whole town.
Why, they must have heard the news, the glorious news from my son. Yes, they've come to welcome you.
Hey, hold your fire, men. Welcome. It doesn't sound like they've come to welcome us, Pop.
What is you?
What? That's the man we first spoke to, the one whose wife got scared.
Gentlemen, please don't shoot. There must be some mistake. I'll just ask them why they're behaving in such a...
Here, come back here. Come back here, you old... Come back here. Ran out of us. What do you make of that?
Captain, I don't understand this and I don't like it.
Dugan, the back way out. See if it's clear. Prescott, you fire when I say fire, not before. Lower your gun.
They're all around us, Captain.
We'll make a break for it. One volley at my command.
Captain
then...
Williams.
Yeah?
Look, there's a little guy out there giving them all what for. They're starting to disperse.
Let me see.
Clear this square immediately. Immediately, I say. Go on now. Go on, all of you. Go on home.
He's coming in.
Now, I'll do all the talking. Put your guns away, but stay on your toes. Dugan, let's keep our eye on the back, huh?
Gentlemen. May I apologize for the unforgivable actions of my fellow townspeople. They've acted barbarously. Barbarously.
We didn't do a thing. We were as friendly as we could be.
But they're ignorant. Ignorant. Just ignorant. No reverence for science. None whatever.
We're from Earth. Did they tell you?
Oh, yes. A great honor, sir. This is without a doubt the most memorable moment of my life. As a man of science, I greet you.
What have we done to... make them so hostile.
Well, please, put it out of your thoughts. They are dolts, idiots. Simply because two women were stupid enough to be frightened. These are my apologies, my sincere apologies. Believe me, sir, I would never have forgiven them if they had harmed so much as a hair of your head. It's scientific marvel, and they would do you harm. It's unforgivable. Oh, we're wasting time. The members of the Institute are waiting.
Institute?
The Institute of Science. We have sole jurisdiction in such matters. The members have already been informed and are eagerly awaiting your appearance. It will cause a sensation.
Well, that's a little more like it.
This way, if you please. I have transportation waiting. And have no fear of these rustics. You're in my care now.
I'm Captain Williams, sir. Who are you?
I'm president of the Institute. My name is Dr. Boo. This way, gentlemen. This way.
Escape, under the direction of Norman MacDonald, returns in just a moment. How the gambling machine works, the far-reaching effect of legal and illegal gambling, domination of entire areas by racketeers. That's this week's topic on The Nation's Nightmare, tomorrow night on CBS. And now, back to Escape. I won't make a speech, you understand, just a few informal remarks.
The members of the Institute will listen to you with the greatest interest, no matter how informal your remarks. Go right in and make yourself at home.
Thank you, Doctor. I'll keep it short. We have to be back at our rocket by 3 o'clock our time in order to...
to communicate with Earth, yes. You told me. Yes. Go right in. I'll join you very soon.
Thank you. After you, men.
He's a nice fellow.
Wow. What an auditorium.
Hey, must be hundreds of people. I wonder how they managed to get them together at such short notice.
Straighten up, men. They're looking at us.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I am Mr. Ugh.
And I'm Captain Jonathan Williams of New York City, on Earth. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, one and all, on behalf of myself and my crew. Thank you.
Well, it's good to see another man from Earth. I am from Earth also.
How was that again?
There are many of us here from Earth.
You? From Earth?
Yes.
But is that possible? Did you come by rocket? Has space travel been going on for centuries? What country are you from?
Tuirial. I came by the spirit of my body years ago.
Tuirial? I never heard of it. What was that about the spirit of your body?
Well, what do you mean there are many of us here from Earth?
Not only from Earth. He's from Jupiter. He's from Saturn.
Jupiter? Saturn? Wait a minute, this is confusing. Where on Earth is this Tuirial?
Tuirial?
Is it near America?
America? What is America?
You never heard of America?
No.
You say you're from Earth and you never heard of America.
Earth is a place of seas and nothing but seas. There is no land. I am from Earth and I know.
Earth is a place of all jungle. I am from Orion Earth, a civilization built of silver.
Silver? Men, come over here a second. You realize what this is?
What, sir?
This is no celebration. These aren't members of the Institute. This isn't a banquet or a surprise party.
Huh?
Look at their eyes. Listen to them. Now I understand why the woman screamed, why the girl fainted, why the old boy in the soda fountain ran out on us, why the crowd was hostile, why they brought us here.
Oh, where are we, sir?
In an insane asylum. They think we're crazy.
Clitheroe, try the door again.
I just tried it, Captain. It's still locked.
Go right in, gentlemen. The members of the Institute will listen to you with the greatest interest, no matter how informal your remark. I'll bet they've been listening, all right. I'll bet they've had us under observation ever since we entered this building.
Captain, look.
What?
You ought to take a look. That woman who said she was from Earth, too. Blue flame is coming out of her mouth and then turning into the shape of a small naked child.
You think that's something? I've been watching one of them change into a crystal pillar and then into a golden statue and then into a staff of cedar and then back into a woman again. Never saw anything like that. Magicians.
No, not magicians. Those are hallucinations. They pass their insanity over into us and we see their hallucinations too. Telepathy, auto-suggestion and telepathy.
Well, look, Captain.
If hallucinations can appear this real to us, to anyone, if hallucinations are catching and almost believable, it's no wonder they took us for psychotics. If that woman can produce little blue fire children and that one can change into a pillar, how natural if normal Martians think we can produce our rocket ship with our minds.
I've been thinking along those lines, too. If someone came up to you on Earth and said he was from Mars, just came in by rocket, wouldn't you think he was crazy?
I would. Heaven help me, I would. What time is it?
2:35. Those channels open in 25 minutes.
Where's that doctor? Where's that doctor? I said, where's that doctor?
I'm here, Captain.
I demand our release. I demand an apology for this outrage. My government will certainly hear of this. All the governments of Earth will hear of it. I shall tell them of the indignities heaped upon their representatives.
Yes, yes, of course.
Don't humor me! Are you going to release us, or must I take steps?
What sort of steps?
I'll kill you.
That's very interesting. Excuse me a moment. Dr. Lowell?
Yes, doctor. Did you call me, doctor?
The case is developing along classic lines. I thought you might be interested. He's just threatened to kill me. Proceed, please, Captain.
I wasn't joking, I tell you. Are you going to stand aside?
No.
All right. Jan.
Most interesting. What do you suppose the next phase will be?
A denial of insanity. Reaffirmation of sanity.
But we are sane. We are.
You see? Classic.
Men try to think of something
He thinks we're insane, and he won't understand that we're not.
No, 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 not at all. I do not think all of you are insane. Oh, no. Just you, sir. The others, the ones you persist in referring to as your crew, they do not exist. They are secondary hallucinations.
Secondary?
Hallucinations.
But you can touch them. You can hear them. Go ahead and touch them.
It would prove nothing. Patients have come to me with snakes crawling from their ears. When I cured them, the snakes vanished.
We'll be glad to be cured. Go ahead.
It's unusual. Not many want to be cured. The cure is drastic, you know.
Cure ahead. I'm confident you'll find we're all sane.
He persists in referring to the others.
Oh, they never stop. You know, Captain, such cases as yours need special treatment. The others in this hall are simpler forms, but once a patient has deteriorated as much as you have with primary, secondary, tertiary, auditory, olfactory, and lingual delusions, as well as tactile and optical fantasies, it's a pretty bad business. We may have to resort to euthanasia.
Euthanasia? You're crazy! Now, listen. My crew and I left Earth 3 days ago in a rocket. We landed here in Mars.
Yes, 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 you've already told me, Captain. Most detailed dream fantasy I've ever heard.
But I can show you the rocket ship!
I'd like to see it. Can you manifest it in this hall?
No, certainly. It's over there on the corner.
I don't see.
Of course you don't. It's not there.
Why did you tell me to look if the rocket isn't there?
I was joking, idiot. Joking.
Really? You have an odd sense of humor.
If you give us transportation and come with us, I can show you the rocket. It's in a small forest near that town where we first saw you.
Be rather interesting to observe his reaction at the failure to show it to us.
Yes. Would you care to accompany me, Dr. Wu?
Oh, I'd be delighted.
Very well, Captain. Lead us to your rocket.
Here it is. Here's the rocket. Now are you satisfied? Now are you convinced?
I see nothing resembling a rocket.
Dugan, Prescott, Clitheroe, clear away the camouflage. Yes. Hurry! Right. You'll see, Doctor. You'll see. All right, there. There. Okay, men, that's enough. There you are, Doctor. That's the main hatch. Now, are you convinced?
Wonderful manifestation. Wonderful. But like the manifestation of your gun when you threatened to kill me, they're completely unreal and non-functional.
See, I've been thinking about why your gun jammed, Captain. I think it's a change in atmosphere.
I suppose he allows his hallucinatory companion to offer the rational because the reality is too painful for him to offer it himself.
It is precisely, Doctor.
It's a rocket. It's a real rocket. See? I can touch it.
May we look inside?
I insist that you look inside.
Come along, Dr. Lowe. This is one of the most...
Captain, it's 3 minutes to three. If we can keep him here until they open the channels, they'll be able to hear the reaction to our report on Earth, and then we'll be able to...
I know, I know, I know. What a suspicious bunch of louts.
2 cents, I'd tell the people back home not to bother with Mars.
Fascinating.
I've never seen anything like it.
All right, now do you believe?
Well, this is the most incredible example of sensual hallucination and hypnotic suggestion I've ever encountered. We went through your rocket, as you call it. I tapped it and I heard it. Auditory fantasy. I smelled it. Olfactory hallucination induced by sensual telepathy. I could even taste it. Lingual fantasy. Allow me to shake your hand, sir, and congratulate you. You are a psychotic genius. You have done the most complete job by the task of projecting your psychotic image life into the mind of another via telepathy and keeping the hallucinations from becoming sensually weaker is almost impossible. Those people in the house usually concentrate on visuals or at the most visual and auditory fantasies combined.
But you, Captain, have balanced the whole conglomeration. Your insanity is beautifully complete.
My insanity?
Yes, yes. What a lovely insanity.
Metal, rubber, foods, clothing, fuel, nuts, bolts, 10,000 separate items we've checked on your vessels. Never have we seen such a complexity.
Why, there were even shadows under the bunks and under everything.
Such a concentration of will. Let me embrace you, sir. I'll write this into my greatest monograph. I'll speak of it at the Martian Institute next month.
Doctor, he's incurable, of course.
Of course. You poor, wonderful man. You'll be much happier dead.
What?
Have you any last words?
Wait, no, don't shoot.
Oh, you poor, sad creature. I'm afraid you are far beyond any psychiatric therapy. You're an incurable case.
No.
I shall put you out of this misery which has driven you to imagine this rocket and these three men.
I did not.
It will be most engrossing to watch your three friends and your rocket vanish once I've killed you.
Doctor.
And then I will write a paper on the dissolution of neurotic images from what I observed here today.
I'm from Earth. My name is Jonathan Williams. And these men are...
Yes, I know.
From Earth.
Captain. Captain Williams.
They continue to exist.
Superb. Hallucinations with time and spatial existence. I wonder how they will react to a bullet.
Oh, no.
Put on that gun.
No, don't.
An auditory appeal, no. Even with the patient dead.
Run.
They still exist. And so does the rocket.
Phenomenal. Such persistence of the psychosis. First time I've ever observed it post-mortem. But it will fade. It will all fade. Interesting, wasn't it? Well, shall we be returning to the Institute?
I should like you to explain certain aspects of the case to the members of my department.
Oh, gladly, my boy, gladly. You see, this patient...
Earth to Mars. Earth to Mars. Calling rocket expedition. Calling rocket expedition. Do you read me? Do you read me? Come in, Captain Williams. Come in, Captain Williams. Earth to Mars. Earth to
Under the direction of Norman MacDonald, Escape has brought you The Earthmen by Ray Bradbury, especially adapted for Escape by Walter Newman, starring Parley Bear with Harry Bartell, Hans Conried, Larry Dobkin, and Lou Krugman. Featured in the cast were John Daner, Sidney Miller, Georgia Ellis, Jack Crucian, and Byron Kane. The special music for Escape is composed and conducted by Leith Stevens.
Next week, Escape with us to an island off the northwest coast of Africa, and the story of a man whose quest for happiness was blocked by a giant, a madman, and a beautiful girl. As Millard Kaufman tells it in his exciting story, The Gladiator.
There's all fun each and every weekday when most of these same stations bring you CBS Radio's Arthur Godfrey Time. This is Roy Rowan speaking. This is CBS, where you hear the FBI in Peace and War every Thursday night, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
What did you think of that one? That radio adaptation differs a bit from Bradbury's original text so that it could be a complete story. The ending was handled a bit differently. After the crew is killed, our psychologist determines that the reason the spaceship persists is because he's psychotic, and so he kills himself. Then the townspeople later sell the spaceship as scrap metal to a junk man. The story came from the OTR series Escape. It was one of radio's leading anthology series of high adventure radio dramas, airing on CBS from 1947 to 1954. Since the program didn't have a regular sponsor like Suspense did, it was subject to frequent schedule shifts and lower production budgets. Although Richfield Oil signed on for a sponsorship for about 5 months in 1950. Despite all of these problems, Escape enthralled many listeners during its 7-year run. How about that?
If you want to take it easy and you want to take it right, then you'll get a Regal Pail and you'll always know you're right. It's the light and better.
Better get it.
Mellow, mellow brew, Regal Pail.
Never fail.
It's the better, better brew for you and you and you and you. It's the better, better brew for you.
As a follow-up to our story today, I thought I would throw up some true facts about science fiction. Here we go. Arguably, the inspiration for much of science fiction traces back to classical mythology. Think of it, Earthlings abducted by beings from the sky, humans morphing into strange creatures, and events that defy the laws of nature. Does Homer's Iliad come to mind? In 1926, writer Hugo Gernsback founded Amazing Stories magazine, the first true science fiction magazine ever. Now, Gernsback loved his greenbacks. He even tried to trademark the term science fiction, and he paid his writers so little that H.P. Lovecraft later nicknamed him Hugo the Rat. However, the Rat would have his revenge. The most famous sci-fi writing award is called the Hugo. Writers for the early pulp mags would often write under multiple pseudonyms so that they could have more than one article per issue. Ray Bradbury, from our story today, took this practice to another level. He used no less than 6 different pen names. Prominent physicists and space travel pioneers have often, sometimes secretly, contributed to science fiction literature. German rocket genius Wernher von Braun wrote space science fiction and was an advisor to sci-fi movies such as the 1955 Conquest of Space. Irony alert! Ray Bradbury, one of the world's most influential science fiction writers, avoids computers, ATMs, and claims he has never driven a car. Not to be outdone, sci-fi legend Isaac Asimov wrote about interstellar spaceflight but refused to board an airplane. In Arthur C. Clarke's movie 2001 A Space Odyssey, the HAL 9000 computer discusses its feelings and Pan Am Airlines flies passenger shuttles to the moon. After the book's release, Pan Am announced a real-life list of passengers wanting to go to the moon. Walter Cronkite, Ronald Reagan, and 80,000 others all signed up. 40 years later, computers can discuss their printer drivers, but not their emotions. And Pan Am? Well, it's been defunct for 29 years. Was episode number 477, and it was the people that made it great. Folks like Kendra Jordan, Paul Devin, and Della Coleman. Thank you, guys. If you want to follow the podcast or the blog, head to ronsamazingstories.com. There you will find any of the links I mentioned and how to contact us. Do you want to help the show? The best thing you can do is to tell your friends all about it, and please leave reviews or feedback wherever you listen. Clicking that follow or like button makes us grow. Thank you for listening, and I hope you come again to find out what are Ron's Amazing Stories.